We're all missing travel right now, but you know what else we're missing? Getting more. With Priceline, you can save up to 60% on your favorite hotels, and you can also get exclusive deals on car rentals and flights. And when you save more, you can do more. More, wow, and yes! Priceline knows that every trip is a big deal. So when you're ready to book your next one, visit Priceline.com for the easiest way to get more out of it. And don't forget to download the Priceline app for even more savings.
Alrighty, welcome to another episode of the Hoop Dreams Podcast, a podcast where you can find two Laker fanatics giving their true, authentic opinions on all things Lakers. My name is Tiffany.
And my name is Kyler.
And we have reached the week of really opening week, right? It's really about to start. It's been a long summer, a long off season.
Way too long.
We're happy to get back into the groove of Laker basketball every week. I'm excited. We got a lot of things to look forward to. So with that being said, let's get into some Laker news that's happened over this past week. So our good big man, Pau Gasol, is officially retiring from the NBA, and which we all knew what was going to happen as soon as he announced it. The Lakers are going to retire his jersey. So it's not a matter of if, it's just when is it going to happen. So I would just love to hear your thoughts briefly on Powell, because there's been some debate, you know, back and forth of like what he has meant to our franchise, and especially that championship run with Kobe. So what's your overall thoughts on Powell?
I think Pau Gasol, like, first, congratulations on his retirement. Definitely had a very successful career, basketball career overall, not just in the NBA, but playing for Spain as well. Underrated player in the Lakers' legacy, I feel. I feel like when he first got to the Lakers and won those two championships, fans were singing his praises. But once, like, the team wasn't doing as well and all the trade rumors started coming around, I feel like some fans started to underrate Pau Gasol, and they were just so ready to get him off of the team. So I definitely wish Pau's Laker tenure ended on a better note, a sweeter note.
Yeah.
But overall, like, you really can't find too many more skilled big men than Pau Gasol. Like, anytime I'm watching basketball highlights, I have to throw in like a Pau Gasol top 10 in there with his passing, because he may not be the most agile big man, but the way he can pass that ball, like, especially like one of my favorite Pau Gasol plays is when he was on the fast break, went behind his back, between his legs.
That's my favorite.
And dish it, like, it's just so great. Like, when I be watching it, I'm like, yeah, like, people act like they ain't seen a big man who can pass before, but Lakers had two of them in Pau and Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
Just overall, I'm happy that the Lakers announced ahead of time that they're going to be retiring his jersey. I also saw a tweet that someone says they wish they would move the jerseys around so that Shaq's jersey is next to Kobe's 8 and Pau Gasol's is next to Kobe's 24. I think that would be pretty cool. And then the only thing I wish would have went differently about this, I wish he would have done one of those like one day contracts to retire like officially as a Laker.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually would have been dope if we would have done that. But I'm definitely for the rearranging of the retired jerseys. I mean, that, I think that would be dope. It's just, you can make a whole story out of that, right? Like, Shaq next to 8, Powell next to 24. And just my thoughts, like, on Powell, like Kobe said some years ago, like, he doesn't win those championships without him. Especially that last one. I mean, game 7 against the Celtics, that crazy layup that he made, or I don't even know if you wanted to call it a layup, but I don't even know how he got it in. Like, it was three players surrounding him. Like, just talk about his strength to get the ball in the hoop. So I love Pau. I definitely believe and feel that He's one of the Laker legends. Like, he's one of the Laker legends. If you're a true Laker fan, you can't take him out of it, right? Is he a Kareem? No, but he's pretty important to Laker history. So you got to give him respect. So definitely congratulations. I'm very happy. And I can't wait for the whole ceremony. I hope that they do him a pretty good ceremony. Like, you know, of course it has to be like, I don't know, maybe a game where all his family could come. Maybe even Mark will make an appearance back in Staples Center for it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The thing I wanted to mention about that, I think you mentioned the ceremony. I think it's going to be an insanely emotional ceremony.
Just
because there's no way that he doesn't like get emotional talking about his time with the Lakers, just because Kobe all of that time is, yeah, it's tied with Kobe Bryant. Yeah. My prediction is that it might be a little bit early, but I think that they might retire his jersey in a Lakers Grizzlies game. But I was just looking at the schedule and the Lakers play the Grizzlies on December 29th. So I don't know if that's too early to retire the jersey, but maybe that would be a good game to retire the jersey against. And for the fans who are debating whether or not we should retire his jersey, like, I think that that's just insane. There's no reason why the Lakers shouldn't retire Powell's jersey. And it's funny because I had a feeling they were going to retire jersey a few years ago, because I don't remember what player it was, but some player came to the Lakers and he was talking about choosing his jersey number. And there was a quote saying that number 16 wasn't available. So it's obvious they've been like saving number 16 to retire Powell's jersey. So I thought that was a good nugget that I saw. I wish I remember which player it was, but I remember seeing that quote.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like Jeannie said, it was just, it's not a matter of if, it's just when. And I think that's definitely been the case for some years. So it was pretty cool, like, just seeing the highlights, you know, after his announcement, like, just seeing his whole career highlights, but of course the Lakers highlights. So the ceremony, we'll see when they announce it. Let's try to go to the game. I would love to go to that game where they have his retirement ceremony.
Trying to make me cry at Staples Center.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to have my travel packs of tissue in my bag. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. But yeah, so with that, let's move into our last few preseason games against the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. Both fan bases get on our nerves to a certain degree. But what was your thoughts on the game against the Warriors? Anything stick out to you?
Nothing really stuck out that much about the Golden State game. I mean, once again, it's a preseason game. Golden State didn't play Steph Curry and Draymond. So definitely a game I feel like we should have and could have won. Of course, on the Lakers end, we had our big three playing. But we didn't have everybody playing in the fourth quarter. So I think at the end of the game, it was like, all right, not that big of a deal to lose this game, because at the end of the day, it is preseason. And although it would have been nice, and we're going to get into this in a second, although it would have been nice to get a win in preseason, it's not the end of the world if we lose a couple preseason games here and there, especially I feel against a team like Golden State that we're opening the season against. We may not want to show all of our cards for like that crunch time play against them specifically, because Golden State could even be a team that we see in the playoffs. And I'm not saying this is the reason why we lost or that we strategically lost this game. Like, a loss is a loss. But the Golden State Warriors game, it just kind of happened for me.
Yeah, it kind of happened as well. I mean, it was good to see the big three on the court together. Definitely looking at how they could utilize each other's strengths, especially on the offensive end. Of course, their communication has to get a little better of their certain spots, especially when Russ is handling the ball. Because what I found was with AD, he has to, I don't know if he has to work a little bit harder down on the block or just find another spot, but he has to be a little bit more dominant in his play. And again, I know it's preseason, so definitely not showing all his cards, but I think for our big three to truly be successful, We need AD to get to a spot, but get open. And the thing is, the defense knows that. There was plenty of plays where the Warriors defense kind of sagged off of whoever was near Anthony, and they kind of like double teamed him and crowded him, so we couldn't get the ball to him. So I think it's just certain ways, like little things like that, just kind of working a little strategically on getting open for AD, because, you know, once we get him down on the block, like we good money. So that's one of the main things that stuck out to me. I agree with you. I think kind of like once it got to the fourth quarter, it was like, okay, like let's let the dudes on the summer league contract kind of get some play. And even then, I mean, even with them in, we still was close to winning the game at some point. So nothing else really was a big deal for me in the Warriors game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you with that AD comment too. I think that AD needs to realize his talent. And I feel like this is way too early to even be having this conversation. So I'm going to say this with a grain of salt, but I need to make sure that AD realizes that he's should be playing like the best big man in basketball, which he is totally capable of being.
Yep.
And so demanding the ball where he wants it in his spots. I realize that it is a little bit tougher with a non-floor spacing big in the game, like when he's playing with DJ or in a few minutes he'll be playing with Dwight. And I found it interesting too that Frank Vogel mentioned that they're going to be doing fewer post-ups this year. So if that is the case, then AD is really going to have to make sure that he's able to find his spots, find his rhythm, and just be ready to let that thing fly. Like, I don't want AD only taking like 9 or 10 shots in a game. Like, I want him to be exactly taking those shots that he can make.
Yeah. I want him, and this could be too much, but for scoring purposes, I want him close to 30 a night.
Yeah.
I want him close to 30 a night. He can have about 8 rebounds, because I know he's going to share that with everybody else. So 8 rebounds. You need a couple blocks out of the night. I need that. I want to see that from him, just for multiple reasons, right? Because you got to think about how everyone pretty much counted him out, last season, calling our championship season for him a fluke, which we know that's not the case, because they wasn't saying that before he got to the Lakers, right? They wasn't demeaning his skill set. So I expect him, and I hope that he comes out with a little bit more force and really make folks respect him on the offensive end and defensive end as well. So, yeah.
And I just also wanted to continue my rant of throwing shade at number 17, who played for the Lakers last season. But Rondo has thrown more lobs to Anthony Davis in this one preseason than Dennis threw all of last season in one game. Two lobs in one game. Who would have thought? And I brought that up to also say, AD shouldn't have a problem getting close to 30 points a game if he really works for it. Mm-hmm. Because if he's operating on the offensive glass and then pick and rolls with Russ and LeBron, he's going to get a lot of easy buckets. So I'm looking forward to a high scoring AD season.
Yeah. Agreed. And let's talk a little bit about the Sacramento game again. Not a lot. I think the Sacramento fans try to take more away from the game than what it was. You know, they had one of their guys. I mean, he was lighting up in his second half. So shout out to him. But on the Lakers side of it, Bron showed like, listen, I'm still Bron. Like, scoring 30 points in a preseason game. He didn't even really want to come out of the game. He tried to go back in. But, if, you know, coach was like, no, you're not going back in. It's preseason. preseason game. So but my takeaway from that game is definitely Bron, like what he's still capable of doing and how on a given night, how we can rely on certain stars, especially once Russ gets into his groove, once he finds his footing in our offense, once everybody else gets used to his pace. I think a lot of his turnovers, because he, you know, he thinks real fast and he passes the ball real fast and our players aren't ready for it a lot of the time. So once all that gels together, I think especially on the fast break, it's gonna be tough to stop us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This Sacramento Kings game was an exciting one though. I think especially at the beginning of the game, like Westbrook started it off. We got our first rock the baby from Russell Westbrook. which had me very hyped. That give and go with DeAndre Jordan was a beautiful basketball play.
That was beautiful.
And the fact that he could do that with DeAndre Jordan, just imagine what he's going to be doing with Anthony Davis throughout the regular season. Mm-hmm. Austin Reeves continuing to show why he's a hooper. And I don't know, we might be calling him Hillbilly Kobe more than we thought he was going.
No.
He definitely needs a new nickname, but he finished that game playing 30 minutes and had 5 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. He's been largely impressive to me this preseason. Like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't know too much about him prior to the NBA draft, and the Lakers got him afterwards. But he's feisty on defense. He's a high IQ basketball player. He's playing in the right spots, moving the ball when appropriate.
Right.
Showing off like some minor basketball handling capabilities too. Like, he's been able to get past some defenders. So I'm looking forward to his development across the season, especially as he continues to hit that weight room, because I think if he can add some more size, he'll be even more of a pest on defense and will be able to make his way into the lane a little bit more.
Yeah.
You already mentioned Bron's 30, and honestly, I didn't even really realize that Bron had 30, but it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook had his highest scoring game as a Laker so far. DeAndre Jordan had a double-double in 15 minutes. And AD, even though he was missing a lot of shots, he still ended up with 14 and 12. And the other player, Carmelo Anthony, even though his defense is absent, per usual, which I never expected his defense to be there, him hitting these threes with all the confidence in the world, I absolutely adore it. Like, adore just it. Seeing him come up, get the ball, and just catch and shoot. And it's crazy the difference between having a player like Melo and some of the other quote-unquote shooters we've had on the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Because the pure, like, I have 100% confidence I'm shooting and making this versus other players who would get the ball, hold it, think about it.
Right.
Melo just let that thing fly. He splashes it going down the court. It makes me so happy. I can't wait for Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, is Melo's jersey available now?
It better be at Staples Center when I get there.
It better be. I'm like, let me quickly look.
I don't think it is.
It's not. At least I don't see it on the Lakers store page. So we're going to have to check it out. But yeah, I'm with you. Because, I mean, even when he gets the ball on the block too, like that bully ball that he plays. Like,
love it.
Listen. Someone was like, so when do we start the campaign for Melo being Sixth Man of the Year? I'm like, let's start it now.
Today. We got to start it today.
I'm excited because the energy, like you said, like he's not hesitating. He's not going to hesitate because he knows what he knows what his shot is, right? Like, yeah. Sable's gonna go be on fire. I just know it.
I can't wait.
But yeah, but is there anything you want to add to the set game? Any other takeaways you may want to add?
I don't think so. I think that, like, of course, another game that we maybe could have won. Oh, the one thing that I didn't mention, when LeBron had that injury scare, I was like, cancel the whole rest of the game. Sit him down.
Nobody got time.
Bubble wrap him, because especially once he started rubbing like behind his calf, my heart sank, because I was like, this better not be nothing, any type of serious, because I'm not ready.
No. Let's not even think about it. We're not putting it in the air. We're gonna move on. So let's talk about this. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk. The Lakers did not win a game in the preseason. Do you think it's a cause of concern for the Lakers going 0-6 for the preseason?
Absolutely not. It will almost never be a cause for concern for me losing games in the preseason. There was even a stat that someone shared that both the Suns and the Bucks didn't win a game in the preseason last season, and we know where those teams ended up.
Yeah.
But a very specific reason why it's not a concern for me, which we're going to talk about next, we didn't even have our full like rotation of players for those last couple of games that were very winnable because these are players that are going to play heavy minutes. We just didn't see the Lakers that we're going to be seeing in the regular season, especially once they get their legs under them. So definitely not a cause for concern. A lot of the reason why we lost was a lot of things that I feel like chemistry and just time together will help fix, whether it's timing with plays, getting players the ball in positions where they'll be able to catch and score, Westbrook learning where the different players like to get the ball, Rondo slowing down a little bit with some of them passes he'd be trying to throw, Kent Bazemore, same thing. Like, these are just players that need to figure out what they need to be doing. And on the like stars end of it, like them getting more comfortable in their roles. Of course, AD and Bron had injuries last season, so they're still getting their timing together. So there's a lot of things that didn't go so well in the preseason with turnovers and defense. But at the same time, I'm not losing any sleep over not winning in the preseason.
Listen, I'm with you. Like, I'm not tripping at all. Okay. Just excuse me, just because it's preseason, we're getting our legs under us, like you say, getting to know where our spots are. We are essentially a whole new team, right? So we have to kind of get everything flowing again. So I'm not worried at all. And like you said, you know, we missed a good four of our rotation players, right, for the last half of preseason. So I definitely don't think Laker fans should worry too much, right, and be on Twitter freaking out, because it's just not that time to do so, honestly. And one of the things that they asked Russell at one of his press conferences, and, you know, asking him if he's worried about, you know, preseason, and he was like, I've been in the league for 13 years. I don't remember any of my preseason, like my stats, what we won. Like, I don't remember any of it. So that just shows you right there. Like, it's almost like a goldfish memory. Like, we're not thinking about the record for the preseason. Like, it's not happening. The bigger fish, what we have to focus on is the season, right? And making sure that we are improving our team chemistry, making sure that we are conditioned to kind of move forward. So I'm not tripping at all.
Yeah, and you brought up one of the Westbrook quotes. Another thing I'm looking forward to this season is just Westbrook and the media, because like people were asking about his turnover woes. And he was like, I could turn it over 15 times and ain't nobody going to do nothing about it. Like, it's preseason. Mm-hmm. These stats don't matter. Mm-hmm. And he also was telling them to keep the same energy when he has 20 assists in a game, which is like, exactly. Like, we're talking about Westbrook's first six games as a Laker that don't even count. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's going to be experimenting with passes. He's going to try things to see what works. Like, it's the preseason. And they talk all about us having a veteran-heavy team and an old team. This is exactly what a veteran-heavy team does in the preseason. If this was, like, a young team and their, like, young players just weren't able to play basketball, maybe there's a cause for concern. But do you think Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Rajon Rondo, do you think these players care at all about what goes on in games that don't matter?
No.
They call him playoff Rondo. You think he care about the preseason?
All right, come on. Yeah, so Laker fans, listen. Don't take too much stock in it. Don't let other fan bases try to ruffle your feathers either, because they just trying to get you all riled up with these predictions and whatnot. Like, we good. Like, let's focus on the season. But I will say, and I'm saying this right now, what I am not going to do this season is continue to have a segment on injuries. I'm not doing it. Mm-mm. This is it. All right, Lakers. Y'all may not listen to us directly, Laker players, but y'all better hear this in the airwaves. Stay healthy. We are not about to do this every episode. Okay? I'm going to talk about the players that are currently out right now because it's important to talk about it. This is not about to go down. Okay. And if anything, I will go to the practice facility and stand out in front and tell y'all in person, because this is not about to go down. we already talked about THT and Trevor Ariza being out for some time due to their procedures. THT will be evaluated. They mentioned this earlier this week in 4 to 6 weeks. So that puts us right in the beginning of November, probably the first or second week of November, if I'm looking at the calendar in my head properly. And then we got Trevor. He initially, they said they will reevaluate him in like 8 weeks. And so that was maybe 2 weeks ago. Has it been 2 weeks? So that may put us around Thanksgiving, I believe, maybe even a little bit before that. So it's important, right? We want to make sure that they're good. We've also had Malik Monk out, Kendrick Nunn, and Wayne Ellington. Coach said the other day, you know, that they're getting back on a practice court. Wayne did some shooting. Malik and Kendrick did some drills, but they're still listed as day to day. I hope that that's just coach being cool about it and that they good so they can play the first game of the season. But yeah, it's important. Like our players, I know a few of them, I think Wayne and Malik, they had some groin strains. And then Kendrick, I think it was his ankle or his knee. So yeah, come on guys. I definitely wish them all a speedy recovery. And I hope that it's just more so precaution for Malik, for Kendrick, for Wayne, for sure. We know what THT and Trevor's situation is, but yeah, I just wish them all a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I think you said everything that I wanted to say. Just get well. Let's get the season going. And we got to make it to the playoffs healthy. So if that costs us a few games here and there because players need to rest, so be it. But we're not going to have these nagging injuries throughout the regular season. So it's y'all better be stretching when y'all wake up in the morning, stretching before y'all go to bed, hitting the ice bath.
They need to get one of Bron's chambers that he go in, that one of his recovery chambers. Put that in the Lakers facility. We need to get five of them.
I say get one for every player. They got the money.
I mean, they got the money, but do they got the space? I was trying to be generous.
Hell, put them in a parking lot. They got enough space in that practice facility. Whatever they need to do, though, like if LeBron got to run a YouTube series on how to stay healthy during the season, like whatever y'all need to do, let's get it cracking, because I agree. I'm not talking about all these day-to-day injuries throughout the regular season.
If we're going to say that a player didn't play, it's going to be because of rest. It's not going to be no injuries. Okay, y'all got that? Hoop Dream listeners, Laker fans, keep that in your memory. We need that good spirit. Send that to our players, because we're not about to do that. So speaking of our roster, the Lakers waived 5 players this past week, training camp deal players. And from what we gathered, they're all are supposed to, once they clear waivers, they're going to sign with the South Bay Lakers. So we have Mac McClung, and we know for sure that's definitely announced that he's going to sign with South Bay. Chandi Brown, Joel Ayeye. Nope, that's wrong too. Ayeye. I just can't get his name together. And I'm reading it. I'm looking right at it. Cam Oliver and Trevelyan Queen. So those players have been waived. I'm very surprised Shondi got waived. I thought at least he may get two-way. But, you know, we get it. This thing kind of happens when it comes to the end of the preseason. We training camp deals kind of, you know, finish up. And then we have signed a player. He's actually been in the league for a couple of years, Sekou. Mm-hmm. All right, now you say his last name.
Dumbuya.
Yeah. And so he signed a two-way last week. We haven't seen him on the court yet. I don't think he didn't play the last game. And so with that, with the 5 players that we waived and with the addition that we have, we still have 1 two-way player spot available and 1 standard roster spot available. From what I read, the Lakers are going to be, they're going to evaluate their options when it comes to filling in the second two-way spot, being that a lot of players across the league are being waived, right? Just because at the end of the season, teams are trying to see who they can bring on their team. So they're trying to see, you know, who's available and, you know, who's available to take that two-way contract. And so I don't think they should rush, especially because if we needed another body, which we won't because we good, right? No injuries. We can just call up Shondi Brown from the South Bay, right? So do you have any thoughts on the players that have been waived? Do you think we should have given one of the players another look before waiving them?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised, similar to you, that we waived Shondi Brown. I thought that he had an inside track to getting that two-way spot. Even when we signed Sekou, I thought that I'm not surprised that they waived Joel Ayayi. I'm surprised that he didn't show more in the preseason or maybe didn't have as many opportunities in the preseason. Yeah. But I thought that the two-way would go to Shondi. Outside chance, I thought it could go to Mac McClung just because of like that fan hype and athleticism. But I'm happy that Sekou got that two-way spot because for a two-way player, I think Sekou is like a pretty talented player to have in that two-way spot. Yeah. For those who don't know, Sekou spent the first couple of years in his career with the Detroit Pistons, but he was the 15th pick in the draft in 2019, which is only 2 years ago, and one of those seasons being a shortened season with like the pandemic going on. So I think that he has a lot that he can still prove in the league. I by no means think he should already be labeled a bust or anything like that.
No.
He is a defensive player, a slasher. Can't really shoot too well or consistently, but I think
good energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good energy. He's athletic. And if he's on the wing cutting like with Bron or Westbrook with the ball, they're going to find him a bunch for some easy buckets, especially because more than likely defenders are going to be leaving him a little open if he's on the court and the stars are on the court. And especially while THC and Trevor Ariza are injured, I think that Sekou can easily be thrown into the fire early on in the season and get some playing time because he's 6'8", a big body. He can play the three or the four, maybe an outside chance of playing a very small ball five, but we're going to need that type of slashing wing player. And so I'm looking forward to what he adds to the team. As far as the second two-way spot goes, I'm intrigued on what they do with this spot because it doesn't really make sense to leave that spot open, in my opinion. So I'm wondering if they're looking to see like what other players have been waived right before the start of the season and so they can fill that spot. If I had a wish list for this two-way spot, I would like us to sign either a shooting big, like a stretch five, even if they do nothing else but stretch the floor, or another wing player like a Shondi Brown type, but a player within that 6'7" to 6'9", 6'10" range. I think we could use another one of those.
And I'm pretty sure that's probably what they're looking for, especially, you know, having just someone with Trevor being out, having another body, right, that can kind of come on the floor if needed. So I definitely think that they're just waiting to see. And I feel like we're probably going to fill the two-way spot, if not by Tuesday. At least by the end of maybe the second week of the season. I think they're just kind of waiting to see who's available. And, you know, I think the Lakers have done a pretty decent job of signing players for the two-way. So I definitely feel like, you know, we'll be good with that. But we still got that one standard contract. We know what that situation is. We know we're going to wait until it gets about halfway through the season. We still don't know who's going to be available. It's too early to talk about the buyout market. I don't know. I think the one little noise that we had was Kevin Love, and we see that they said that's not happening. So that's the conclusion of the Lakers news of the week. What we're going to do is pass it on to Kyler so we can get into what's happening around the association.
I love that. That is the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like me the resources that were once reserved for big business, and it's customized to your needs. You get a great-looking online store that really helps bring your ideas to life and tools to manage the day-to-day and drive sales. And I'm speaking about this from experience. I'm really passionate about bass fishing. And a little over 5 years ago, I started an e-commerce bass fishing brand with my best friend, Aaron, called Woo Tungsten. Actually, it's pronounced Woo Tungsten, W-O-O exclamation mark, because that's the sound you make when you catch a giant bass. And it was a no-brainer to do this on Shopify because they've made it so easy every step of the way, from creating product listings to making discount codes to managing shipments. In fact, if you want to see what an e-commerce store looks like on Shopify, go to wootungsten.com and you can see. And it's no wonder that every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. You can get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience. And you can gain knowledge and confidence with extensive resources to help you succeed. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/bluewire, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial, and you'll get access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today, just like me, just like Woo Tungsten, by going to shopify.com/bluewire right now. That's shopify.com/bluewire.
Yeah, so as we know, the regular season is starting soon. If you're listening to this as soon as it drops on Monday, then it will be coming up tomorrow. But whenever you're listening to it, this is opening week of the NBA season. A very exciting time to be a basketball fan and a lot going on. But first, we're going to start with the WNBA. And so as y'all know, and if y'all did y'all homework, y'all do know because y'all should have been watching the finals games. But the Phoenix Mercury and the Chicago Sky are in the middle of their WNBA finals series. As of this recording, the Chicago Sky are currently up 2-1 on the Phoenix Mercury after absolutely annihilating them in game three. Game three, the Sky won 86-50, which, like, oh my God, like, that's just ridiculous. What are your thoughts on this WNBA series so far?
Listen, again, it just shows women play basketball too. Like, we ballers too. I want y'all to know that. Like, it's not just throwing it out there, right? It's been a great series. The energy has been crazy. The fans have been crazy. I mean, even the first two games in Phoenix, like, that, we know what Phoenix is for the Suns. Just as crazy for the Mercury. But the Chicago Sky, like, listen, like I mentioned last week, we were upset that Candace left, but to be on a team, you know, that's making noise this season, it's been crazy. And I'm really happy that the city of Chicago are showing support, like the Stars are in the building supporting them. And, you know, actually at the time of us recording, you know, by the time we release, the series could be over. They play Sunday afternoon. So I'm definitely going to be down to watch. But yeah, WNBA, man, we here. We just needed a shot to be on TV for all of y'all to see it.
Yeah. And a special shout out to Kalia Cooper or
Baller. Okay. Straight up baller. That's all I got to say.
And I said Cooper, I meant Copper, Kalia Copper.
I know who you're talking about.
But she is a straight-up hooper. I think that she has a strong chance to win the finals MVP.
She should.
Because she is just a bucket getter.
She has.
Once the season's over, if she's trying to suit up in the purple and gold, I wouldn't be mad. I think she could win Sixth Man of the Year. She only 6'1", but I mean, I think she could be crafty enough to get us some buckets too.
Listen, the way how she gets to the bucket, like, and finish strong, like, a lot of the times, you know, you get that contact and you just kind of throw the ball up. No, she finishes strong. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so once again, if y'all ain't watching the WNBA Finals because you don't like basketball, we're going to have to talk a little bit more about that.
Essentially, but, right. How can you be a basketball fan and you don't watch?
But that game three was just ridiculous. Like the fact that Dinis Rossi only had 5 points.
Yeah.
Skylar Diggins-Smith only had 7 points. Brittany Griner finished with 16. And the Sky just, they just kept going. Another underrated player on the Sky, Courtney Vandersloot. She's been distributing the ball very well for the team. So looking forward to see how this season turns out. Unfortunately, we won't be able to see game five because we will be at Staples Center watching the Lakers. But I think that our prediction slash our desire for the Sky to win has a inside chance at coming true. Of course, the Mercury are going to bounce back strong in game four, presumably after being demolished by 36.
Yeah, Diana Taurasi, she was like, when they were like, you guys only scored 50. She was looking at the paper, 50. They were like, what are you guys going to do the next day? She was like, I'll tell you, we'll be better than 50. That's for sure. And I say that to say the last time. So when the Mercury were playing Aces, she didn't necessarily have a good game, but they poked the bear. They poked the bear and she went off. So, you know, it's very interesting to see, you know, I'm very interested to see how she's going to show up this next game, you know, what potentially being her last season. So, yeah. It's been exciting. That's all I can say. I'm looking to see if I bought me some more gear right now.
Good old Diana Taurasi. But let's transition back to the NBA with the two topics that have been rocking this summer, Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving.
My goodness.
So our prediction of Ben Simmons getting traded by the beginning of last episode did not come true. And I honestly did not see this coming, but now Ben Simmons is back in Philadelphia. He actually returned to the practice facility. And I'll be honest, when I saw that notification on my phone, I was thoroughly shocked. I'm like, wow, this, if I was a betting man, I would lose all my money because I would not have thought that Ben Simmons returned back to Philly this soon.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you because even that day that he returned, Woj and was just saying, like, you know, it's talks that he may go back to Philadelphia in terms of just being there, but they wasn't really sure when he would return. Then the next thing we know, he arrived and going through the COVID protocol. So I honestly think he just he went back. I don't want to say because of the money, because I mean he was losing money, but I don't think that was like the main reason. I think he was like, okay, if I come back, what do I need to do to make this thing go a little quicker? Because clearly me being away from the team and not talking to them is not working out. And I read something like Doc Rivers was, I guess, yelling at Ben just about like essentially – I won't say yelling at Ben, but through Rich Paul, essentially saying it's in your contract, like you got to show up type of thing. So I'm very interested to see what type of conversations continue to leak as Ben is back in Philly. I mean, his houses, his big house in Jersey, and which is right across from Philly, in South Jersey, and his condo is still up for sale. So I don't think he's still trying to stick around. I think he's just trying to make the situation better to get traded.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So who knows where this ends up? I think the Bleacher Report and ESPN trade machines have been firing up with all types of scenarios on how to get Ben Simmons out of Philly. Even now, like they started throwing Kyrie in some of these trade machines to like see like all these crazy three-team trades. So very interested to see how this plays out. I still think that he ends up getting traded sooner rather than later. I think right now, what makes most sense is waiting until like that December 15th timeline when players that just got signed can start getting traded just to open up the pool of potentially traded players. But I don't think that it's going to be pretty in Philly. I will say that.
Yeah, because how do you, just on Ben Simmons' side, how do you go back to a team who publicly said, I mean, the coach said that you wasn't a championship point guard. You've heard the things that just other little things like how mentally, how do you overcome that in a way that you feel comfortable, at least this season? You know, how do you do that? How do you mend fences with your co-star who clearly, you know, has been upset with you and has took shots at you in the public through the media? And for Philly, you know, they're just trying to save face. Like, I don't really think, I mean, who would want Ben Simmons, right, at the end of the day? But I don't know if they're really, like, on a personal level, if like really want him on the team or just want him for his talent. And so I just think it's just a sticky situation. And I think it just, if he does decide to stay, if they continue to refuse to trade him, I just don't see a way where he's on the team and they're successful this season.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. But let's go ahead and move on to another state in the East Coast and talk about the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving. So a lot of updated information about Kyrie has come out in this past week. Information that he's not necessarily anti-vax. He just doesn't like that it's being forced on people and people are losing jobs because of it. It was also interesting to hear, like, James Harden said he hasn't talked to Kyrie. It's honestly just a mess. It's a real big mess. So what are your thoughts on Uncle Drew and the vaccine saga?
I'm tired. Every day is like a new cycle. Like, listen, if he said he wants to be a voice for the voiceless, like, if that's the case, then you speak up and do things about it. And granted, he did go to the IG Live, cryptic message, like, kind of all over the place, in my opinion. Still seemed like, okay, like, I'm not getting vaccinated, I'm not coming back. But at the same time, he was like, you think I'm going to retire and leave the money and leave the game because of vaccination? So it's like, I don't understand. What side are you on? Like, where are you? Like, what are you doing? And for him to be upset, like, it is disheartening for folks losing their jobs. But you not playing basketball, what is that doing to get their jobs back? That's you not playing is not changing the city's mandate about the vaccine or private companies. And so I think there's a way, although you can still stand up what you believe in, there's a strategic way that you could really speak up about it. And I think if he thinks about it, he can use his NBA platform a lot better while playing, while he can use his press conferences and talking about it, if that's the case. Especially since he said he's not anti-vax. So if you're not anti-vax, then that means, okay, then you're not necessarily worried about taking the vaccine. You just care about the people. So get the vaccine and then, you know, be the voice for the people. Like I said, talk to the media about it. But I don't know. It's Kyrie's, you know, he's kind of always all over the place, right? He's a guy that deep into conspiracy theories, believes the world is flat, like a lot of different things. And so I'm not surprised as well.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more once again. One of my friends had even said something similar when the news came out. It's like, if you're not anti-vaccine, like, you could still be the voice of the voiceless by taking the vaccine and starting to play and just using your platform differently. And I'm in no position to dictate how someone uses their platform and how Kyrie operates as a player. But if he cares about, like, the fans that are rooting for the Brooklyn Nets too, like, and he wants to make sure that those folks have the access that they need, I think that where you can do the most justice is by being able to be with the team, by being able to play. So I agree with you. I'm honestly just tired of the situation in general. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that this ain't my point guard.
Exactly.
So we'll see. We'll see what this means. I think for both the Brooklyn Nets and the Philly 76ers, there's just a lot going on outside of the court, which in my opinion can just cause a massive distraction for the beginning of the season. Because now it's not like when the team wins a game or they lose a game. It's not just going to be a question about what happens on the court, but it's going to be like, oh, would this have been different if Kyrie was playing? How much is Kyrie not being with this team affecting the play on the court? Yeah. When are y'all expecting Ben Simmons? What is the locker room like? And it's like, that gets annoying to not talk about the product on the court. So
yeah, you could tell it's already gotten annoying to the players just with preseason games, like the press conferences.
Yeah. So once again, happy they ain't on my team.
Exactly.
And we just go and continue to monitor the situation. But I'm also just happy that the season is starting so that when we talk about around the association, we don't have to just be mentioning Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving. I'm trying to talk about who got dunked on, who got crossed, who hit a game winner, and how the Lakers beat some team by 65 points.
Right.
Which this is totally off the dome, but the Mavericks demolished somebody in the preseason. I need to look up these exact numbers.
Was it Sacramento?
I don't think it was Sacramento. I think you just got that Sacramento. It was either. I got to look this up because we need exact stats for this. Because I just remember after the game, the team like Twitter just like said final and then put like a LOL or something like that. I feel like it was either the Hornets or the Trailblazers.
It was the Hornets.
It was the Hornets.
Yeah, I knew it was a team that had some purple.
Kings fans about to come for you because
let's do it. I'm not afraid of them. I want all the smoke. I love it.
So why don't you, since you were able to find it, why don't you let them know a little bit about this box score?
So the final score, Dallas 127, the Charlotte Hornets 59. Do we add more there or does it kind of speak for itself?
I think it speaks for itself, honestly, but wow, that's all. Yeah. I don't. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, okay, does preseason matter? No. Yeah. But should you be losing by 68?
No. No.
That is ridiculous.
And the crazy thing is, Luka had 10 points. Porzingis had 17. So it's not like they went for like, one of them went for like 40. Let me see. Melo Ball, he played. He had 4 points. He played 11 minutes. Let me see. Yeah, they starters. Cody Martin had 11. Yeah. Tough game. I think I'm looking at the box score again. The second quarter, Dallas scored 37. Fourth quarter, they scored 36. Sheesh.
It's just because imagine, like, you a diehard Charlotte Hornets fan, if those exist. I'm assuming they exist.
At least in the Charlotte area.
Yeah, at least in the Charlotte area.
Yeah.
You wake up with your family. You got your LaMelo Ball jersey on. Maybe you got a Scary Terry, Gordon Hayward, whatever. Your son got on his LaMelo Ball jersey. And y'all like, you know what? Let's watch this game. And y'all lose by 68. I'd rip that jersey up.
Yeah. You know, sometimes if the Lakers lose by 10, sometimes, depending on who they're playing, don't talk to me for 2 days. So I think I may have to just take off half the season. Like, But you know, Dallas, Dallas did the same thing to the other Laker team last year. So we already know what that, you know, capabilities of what they have.
You said other Lakers team.
I said other LA team.
It's not like you said other Laker team.
Oh, no. Other LA team.
Gotcha. Yeah. But But that concludes the Around the Association session. So let's go ahead and wrap things up with our question of the week.
Yeah. So with the question of the week, as we are starting this new season, we've seen our big three together. We've seen what our supporting cast can do on a micro level. So let's talk about season expectations, or we could really talk about the beginning of the season expectations. So it's essentially two questions. Like, what's our expectations for our big three? And what are expectations of our supporting cast on a nightly basis?
Yeah. So, and we touched on this a few episodes back with the Lakers kind of starting the season with a schedule that's not too tough with competition. Like, we play some teams that aren't expected to do much this season, like the Spurs, Thunder, the Cavs, the Rockets. We actually play we play the Rockets and the Thunder twice each within the first couple of weeks of the season. So I honestly feel like for our stars, our big three, I think that it's going to be an adjustment period. Like, they're definitely going to be able to carry a lot of the load just by being better than some of the opposition. But I honestly, like, my gut is telling me that our role players and our supporting cast, the healthy ones, and hopefully the healthy ones will include a lot more people as the season goes on. I feel like they're going to win us a lot of games early on in the season because we're playing teams that have not as many talented players as the Lakers have, because I'm looking at like this back-to-back against the Spurs and the Thunder. Mm-hmm. Like, the big three can come in and they could just be better than some of those players on the Spurs and the Thunder. We could go up by like 10 or so, then Melo, Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn, they come in and they're just able to expand the league by themselves with the help of whoever else is in the game. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that at the beginning of the season, that honestly, the big three has some adjustment period, but at the same time, they're not having to play more than like 30 minutes in some of these games.
Yeah.
Because our bench is able to play well and carry us along the way. And as we get further down the season, because the big three will be able to be watching like the supporting cast and understanding how folks are operating, once we get to some of the heavier parts of the schedule, then like we start to gel together a lot quickly. So that's what I'm feeling right now. What are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think definitely because we do have a schedule that, you know, is pretty kind to us in the first couple weeks. We still don't need to take it lightly. Like, I think the team is still going to come out and play hard. But I definitely, our big three, they're going to have to take more of the load for the first few weeks, especially with THT, with Trevor Ariza, and with us knowing day to day that Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn, you know, Wayne Ellington, that they're kind of still a little bit banged up. So our big three definitely is going to have to step up. I definitely see some big games from Russell Westbrook. And I think they're going to be exciting games, but I think he's going to come up big. I don't know if it's going to be triple-double across the board type of Russell Westbrook, but I think he's going to come up big when we need him. And but I definitely think, like, players like, especially Melo. Melo is going to be the key, especially when, you know, when Bron is off the court. Melo's going to be, although with AD and Russell, like, of course they could score, but I think Melo is going to be the one that we're going to give the ball to. Like, even in some of the preseason games, like you saw, there was a couple sets, especially against one of those Golden State games that we played at home. They went to Melo like five times in a row, like getting him comfortable in his spot. So I definitely think he's going to be important for us. And I just expect them to continue to work out the kinks as the season goes on. What I do know is that the new Lakers, they're going to see what it means to be a Laker. Like, of course, they know it. They've heard about things, you know, as an NBA player, a lot of the times your dream is to play for a team like the Lakers. But I think they're going to see what energy that folks, that Laker fans bring to the games, but also like the toughness that other teams are going to show just because we are the Lakers. And we're not going to get calls like they expect them to get, like, you know, that they've gotten on other teams. And so it's really about fighting through that type of adversity. That's really, I think, is going to have us stronger mentally, mentally stronger as a team once we get to at least a halfway point closer to the playoffs.
Yeah, I love it. And overall, I'm just really excited just in general for this season. Like, I want to just see how the season goes, get to see, like, how these players are doing, get to know, like, the players' tendencies, seeing how the crowd reacts to some of these teams or some of these players on the team. And once again, just can't wait for opening night just to be there, to be present and hear the starting lineup, see the little video that they play before the game starts. It's going to be an exciting season.
Yeah, I agree. And it's important, like, as Laker fans, we have a tendency overall of taking our teams and players for granted. Okay. This team is unlike a team we haven't seen in years. Like, to have Russell, to have AD and Bron on a team, just them three, but then you have Carmelo Anthony on the team, right? Like, so we, you know, we're going to have some struggles, right? But it's important that we really don't take it for granted, and we really support the team and don't just be trying to trade players because they had an off night on Twitter. Okay. But yeah, so with that, I think now we can kind of get back into our predictions. And I'm kind of excited but nervous at the same time. Do I want to put out prediction yet? So opening night, of course, is against Golden State Warriors. Also my birthday, so I need them to win. Then we're playing Phoenix on Friday and then Memphis on Sunday. So what's your prediction for this upcoming week?
3-0.
3-0.
Right off the gate. I don't care. 3-0. Opening night, like you said, it's going to be a birthday gift for you. It's going to be a 6-month early birthday gift for me, but we're going to get that W. I don't have questions about opening night whatsoever. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. I think Steph is going to do what Steph's going to do. But also Steph going to have to play some defense on opening night too. And I expect Russell Westbrook to get a rock in the baby against Steph. It's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be an exciting game. And I think the Lakers are going to come out on top. Phoenix, this is where we get our revenge. I'm just demanding the win there, so I'm kind of just willing that into existence. Yeah. I don't even have anything else to say besides we're getting the win against Phoenix. They better. That's that. Memphis, I think we're going to beat Memphis. Dylan Brooks might try it against Bron again, and we're going to see how that ends up. But same thing. Like, I just feel like we have such a different, more dynamic team now. I'm looking forward to just seeing Westbrook against these teams when he also has Bron and AD on the squad, because once again, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, one of those is going to have to guard Russell Westbrook, and neither of those can guard Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. I think all three of these games are going to be really exciting. I think opening night, of course, like as we've been saying since the trade for Westbrook, like, it's just going to be an energy filled night, just off the top. Phoenix, of course, you know, that energy, it's going to be a mixture of different types of energies of, like, no, like, this is payback type of energy, but still excited because still the beginning of the season. And I think I think this Phoenix game is going to be like an early playoff feeling game. But maybe not the same level of play just yet because it's like only the second game of the season, but it's going to be that type of energy. Memphis, I just think is going to be exciting. And I, you know, again, like who's going to guard Russell Westbrook? You know, if Dylan Brooks guards him, who's going to guard LeBron? You know, who's going to guard Melo when he's in? So I think it'll be very interesting. I kind of forgot that they do have Steven Adams now. Kind of forgot about that. So we'll definitely, I expect, you know, our big guys to play in that game a little bit more to support AD. But my prediction is, because you know I always got to be a little different from you, My heart is saying 3-0, actually. My heart is really saying 3-0. But I'm looking, that Phoenix game is looking at me dead in my eye. So I'm not saying that I think we're going to lose, but I just think that's going to be a very tight game. So I'm going 2-1 for the opening week.
Can't believe you.
Listeners, you're unable to see Kyler's face at the moment, but he's very disappointed in me and my prediction, like he is most of the time. So it's okay. And we move on and, you know, we discuss it again the next week. So, but yeah, you know, I got to be a little different.
Oh, you don't. Like, if you had to be different, you could have just said we're going to win them all instead of saying 3-0 specifically. But come on, you can't start the season with this type of energy. Listeners, what Tiffany meant to say is that she believes that the Lakers are going to go 3-0.
Yes.
She was going to say 2-1, but that's just because it's early in the morning when we're recording this. She ain't really fully woken up yet. So by midday today, she will have known that she was meaning to say 3-0. And so I'm going to say that both of our predictions are 3-0. Tiff may have said something differently, but I think that's an audio issue with their mic. Mm-hmm. We will make sure to fix that before next week's episode.
This is fun. I'm excited. I'm excited to get back to this. This is fun.
Yeah. So listeners, the time that we have been waiting for is finally come. The season is about to start. Tiffany and I will be at Staples Center on Tuesday, bringing that Hoop Dreams energy to the Lake Show. So hopefully y'all are listening in, sharing with your friends, and just ready to see how the Lakers do. I'll definitely be heading straight to the Team LA store to make sure they got that Melo jersey on the rack.
Sure.
Because it is time. It is time to root for the Lake Show for the 2021-2022 season. And that concludes this episode of Hoop Dreams. I want to thank y'all for listening. As always, wherever y'all are listening, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts, make sure you tell everybody in your family, everybody on your block that watches basketball or is interested in learning more about basketball. Encourage them to listen. I encourage them to like our posts, share them, whatever comes to mind for y'all. We want to make sure that everybody who loves basketball and the Lakers as much as we do is able to listen in. And as always, tell a friend to give us a listen, and go Lakers.
Go Lakers, let's go.
There's no better time to go for a huge score than during the big game. And BetMGM is giving you a good chance to win big on your first bet. Simply download the BetMGM app and place a $10 moneyline wager on pro football's grand finale. If either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your wager's outcome. Just use bonus code CHAMPION200 when you make your first bet. The opportunities for celebration don't stop after a champion is crowned. Try BetMGM's innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and more on all your favorite sports. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code CHAMPION200 when you sign up. Then place a moneyline bet on the big game and you'll win $200 in free bets if either team scores a TD during the showdown. Now you're winning with the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Washington, D.C. and Virginia only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.